All right, Chichos, I need you to listen carefully to this list and see if any of these describe you. You have been in therapy for years, or you have been in 12-step recovery for years, but all of your healing has been in your head and not in your body. You live in a constant state of hypervigilance. You are constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. You have 3 good days in a row, you're bracing for impact, or perhaps you just can't enjoy any of the good things in your life. Feeling good feels so unsafe. Or perhaps you are totally disconnected from your body. You are numb. You're checked out when somebody asks you how you're feeling. You don't know how to answer. You are stuck in self-sabotage, procrastination, self-doubt, and no matter what you do, you stay stuck in it. You cannot be alone with yourself, so you scroll, you eat, you stay busy, you do anything not to feel. Your inner critic is absolutely relentless, and after a lifetime of hearing it, you can't even identify it as being your inner critic. It just feels like who you are. You are currently doing IFS therapy or parts work, and self is more of a concept that you understand rather than something that you actually can feel. Or perhaps you've been doing this healing work all by yourself, and somewhere in you, you know that healing and community is the piece that's been missing. So if you heard yourself in any of that, and who are we kidding, folks? I know that at least one of those things described you, okay? I have a message for you. I built a course. This is the first one that I built entirely myself, and it is everything that has actually worked for me. All of the stuff that moved the needle after doing years and years and years of therapy and realizing, holy shit, I'm not as healed as I thought I was. This is nervous system work. This is somatic parts work. This is actually learning how to be in your body instead of just knowing that you should be. I put it all together in 1 7-week live journey, and I am not teaching this from the top of the mountain as somebody who is perfectly healed. I am in the middle of this work just like you, and I built this thing because I needed it and nobody had put it together in this specific way for people like us. It is called Safe Within, a somatic healing journey to finding self-energy, and it starts July 1st. Early bird pricing runs through June 10th, so you, the person who is currently coming up with all the reasons why you shouldn't sign up, or you, the person who feels that little pit in their stomach right now telling them to sign up, or you, who doesn't feel anything in their body right now because they're so checked out, but whose head is telling them, I think I need to do this. Let's do the damn thing already. Go to adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin, adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin. You can find all the details. Do it now. The expectations we don't question. Most of us don't walk around thinking, I have unrealistic expectations of myself. We walk around thinking, I'm not doing enough. Growing up in a dysfunctional family teaches you what you're supposed to be, and the lesson sticks. Not as a memory, but as a standard. A bar that feels like the bare minimum, but is actually impossible to clear consistently. We don't question these expectations because they don't sound like expectations. They sound like, obviously, they tend to show up in a few places. Who I am. Expectations about character and identity. I should be the strong one. I should be kind. I shouldn't be needy. I shouldn't be angry. That's not who I am. These feel like personality, but they're often assignments handed to us in childhood that we've mistaken for who we are. What I do, expectations about output, productivity, what we accomplish. I should be productive. I should make a good reading. That's for me. I should make a good reading. I should be successful. I should be doing more. What we're supposed to be generating in the world in order to earn our seat. What I feel, expectations about emotional experience. What feelings are allowed, how big they can be, how long they can last. I shouldn't still be sad about this. I should be grateful. I shouldn't be this angry. I should be over it by now. I should be able to handle this without falling apart. For people with complex trauma, this is often the most policed domain. Feelings were punished, ignored, or used against us, so the rules we hold about our own emotional life tend to be the stickiest, strictest. How I show up, expectations about how we're perceived, the impression we make, the energy we bring. I should seem like I have it together. I should be the one people can lean on. I shouldn't show that I'm struggling. For adult children, there's often a wide gap between who we are and how we show up, and the expectations in this domain are often about keeping the gap hidden. What I need or want, expectations about how much we're allowed to need, want, or ask for. I shouldn't need this much. I should be lower maintenance. I shouldn't ask. My needs should be small. In dysfunctional family systems, having needs got us hurt. So this whole domain gets compressed down sometimes to almost nothing. So a healthy self-expectation has a stop point. There's a moment where we can say, this is enough, and actually believe it. It might sound like, I went to the family thing, I was polite, I stayed long enough to be present, and I left when I needed to, instead of, I should have stayed longer, I should have asked about her health, I should have helped clean up, I should have made up for last year. A healthy self expectation has compassion built into the standard itself. Our humanity is part of the standard from the start, not added later when we fall short. It might sound like, I want to show up to therapy today, knowing we're going somewhere hard and that I might shut down, and that shutting down isn't a failure, it's information. Instead of, I should be able to talk about this by now without freezing. A healthy self-expectation is rooted in values, not in proving. The fuel is what we care about, not what we're trying to prove or earn. It might sound like, I'm saying no to this because I don't have it in me, and I don't have it in me is a real reason. Instead of, I have to say yes so they don't think I'm flaky, dramatic, or ungrateful. A healthy self-expectation can be missed without collapse. Falling short feels like disappointment, not, I really struggle with this word, annihilation. It might sound like, I got defensive in that conversation, I want to come back to it tomorrow, instead of, I always do this, I'm incapable of having a real conversation, no one should be in a relationship with me, I should just stop trying. So some questions for y'all. Which domain hits the hardest for you? What was expected of you as a kid that you're still holding yourself to today? Where have you noticed your self-expectations start to soften even a little? And do you hold any expectations of yourself that keep you small? Like, I'm the one who struggles, or things don't work out for me, that you've carried so long, they feel like facts about who you are. So I decided to do this reading today because what I find for myself is that sometimes before group, I feel like I always have to have something profound to say. You know, like sometimes it's like, I feel like I have to come up with a really great reading, and I feel like I have to say something really profound every time when I have a group. And I feel like I have to, it feels like it has to be something present, like something current. It feels like it has to be like a really great insight or something really vulnerable. And it all comes down to like abandonment, right? It's like, I feel like if I don't have something profound to say, then why the fuck do you want to be here? And it's like, good Lord, you do this like 3 to 4 times a week. Like, you're not going to have something profound to say every time. Like, that's so unrealistic. So I have to just like say that out loud, right? That like sometimes I have a lot of expectations on what I say in the beginning or what the topic's going to be. And, you know, it's like, none of that is true. Like, you're not going to leave me if I don't have something profound to say. But really, it all is really rooted in abandonment, right? If I'm not showing up in a certain way, it's almost like transactional, right? Like who I inherently am is enough. So I wanted to just to say that. But I also want to speak to, I feel like being the scapegoat and being the identified patient, that there's also like negative expectation or lower bar expectations that also show up in not as conscious ways. that have really kept me small. Things like, I have to struggle in order to have a relationship with my parents. Like I have to keep myself small or struggling or needing help to like maintain a connection with my parents. So it's kind of interesting working with the expectations that kind of keep us small or hold us back, as opposed to having the expectations that hold us to these like impossible standards or that we have to show up in a certain way. So that's all I'm saying. That's profound enough, baby. Floor's open.
I can definitely relate to pretty much all of them, but there's like two I struggle with the most. Having like wants and needs and expressing that, and also just the way I show up. Because if I'm saying what I want or need in my head, I'm going to come off as very needy or really annoying or just greedy or something. And no one's going to want to be around someone who's like that. Another one that my husband would probably say is that transactional thing. I can love people without expecting them to do anything for me, but the idea of somebody just loving me because I'm there is really weird. I would bring it up to my husband, like, well, if I can't do this for you, then I don't know why you would love me. And he's like, I just love you because you're you. I wouldn't be with you just because of that. Do you have that same type of thing, expectation of me? I'm like, no, I'm just happy that you're with me. Like, that's all I need. And he's like, yeah, so it's that's how I feel towards you. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But even with all of that affirmation, telling him or anybody what I want or what I need, I just immediately feel guilty. I feel so bad saying what I want or need, because I'm like, well, what if they don't like that and it upsets them somehow, or I disappoint them because I'm saying that I want this thing and they're going to think I'm so materialistic and I just have crazy expectations. And if I'm saying what I need, like, you can't even take care of it yourself. You can't just handle it on your own. And I don't know, it's like, it's ridiculous because everybody needs help sometimes. But if I'm asking for help, like, do I need to ask for help for this thing right now? Or is this something I should just handle by myself? And I just end up doing it myself. And then eventually I start feeling resentful because I'm like, wow, no one notices that I'm having such a hard time. No one notices that I need help so badly. And it's like, of course not, because you always tell them you're fine and you don't need their help. But it's gotten a little bit easier to get to a compassionate place for myself. And when I actually am curious, I can feel like a softening. I can like relax a little bit, but I can't get myself to open up to myself, because even if I'm being curious, I'm still so frustrated. And it's like someone coming up to you being like, why are you so upset? What's your problem? And it's like, they want to know, but the way they're coming at you, it's just like, I don't want to tell you anything at all. So I'm kind of at that point with myself, but it's way better than before, where I was just like, you're a piece of shit. So anyways, yeah, thank you.
One expectation that like I keep coming back to for myself is that whenever I have an influx of a lot of feelings, I'm the one who feels like I shouldn't be feeling any of this. And I typically try to intellectualize and create logic around why I shouldn't be feeling whatever I'm feeling, and thinking that my feelings should be catching up to my thoughts quicker. So it's been a learning of like, keep coming back to, no, like my feelings need to have their space. Even if my logic is correct and I'm either over responding to a particular situation and my feelings are just out of control or whatever it is, I'm having an emotional flashback, those feelings still need to finish their cycle and before I can get back to a calm space and level-headed and where I feel like I quote-unquote should be all the time, primarily because feelings weren't really accepted in my household. I was isolated a lot, and my mom's feelings were the ones who took up the most space. So we were just constantly, me and my siblings were walking on eggshells constantly to manage her feelings. And so there was just no space for mine. So if anytime something comes up for me, it's like, oh no, like I can't, it just means I'd be rocking the boat. So that's something I come back to constantly. One thing that a different kind of, I don't know how it fits in with it, but one thing I kind of struggle with is what I perceive to be other people's expectations of me. And when I notice them, it's like I resist and I reject, and I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And I have this really big, like, push just to like become avoidant or just like not respond to whatever expectation it is that I'm perceiving. And I used to not do that. Like, I used to fall into those, oh, I need to be the good girl. I need to make this person value me in some way by making them happy and whatever. But especially since having a kid, like, I don't do that anymore, or not near as much as I used to, I should say. And it's great, but it's also really hard because those same feelings come up of like, but I need to be, or like, how it's there's concern around what the other person thinks of me by not fulfilling those expectations that I perceive of me. So I'm still like studying the fact, like, no, I'm like, it's my practice to like not fulfill whatever those expectations are and stay true to like myself and what it is that I need. Because most of the time, I don't have capacity to fulfill those expectations anyways. So, yeah, it's a practice that I keep coming back to. And hopefully, one of these days, it like continues to just like stick harder and harder. And I can, I don't know, the insecurities around it, about what the other people think, will hopefully lessen, but I don't know. We'll see. Hasn't so far. Thank you.
So I related a lot to a lot of different points that people mentioned. I think from the reading itself, one of the things that I really struggle with is vulnerability and sharing, actually, because to me it signals kind of like a sense of danger. I think especially with parents that were very dysregulated, it was very easy for them to weaponize information, right? So sharing information with them was a dangerous activity because they could come back and create conflict with that and further disconnection, right? And that was like huge fear, right? Where it's like you want your parents to love you, even if they may not be showing love, right? And I think it's kind of weird thinking about the role of, I think you mentioned in your share that you were like you needed to be the person that was like fixed. And I think my role in my relationship with my parents, I was the fixer. And so I became very attuned to the house, right? Like you walk in and you can, the atmosphere, what's going on, who's in what kind of mood. And it's something that I've been trying to unlearn as an adult, living in my own household, being married, trying not to take on other people's emotions, trying not to jump in and say, hey, what can I do for you to not be feeling this way? Because your energy is making me feel like bouncing off these walls, like I can't handle this right now. So it's something that's been very difficult to kind of like step out of that role from. Especially when I think as I slowly tried putting up more boundaries, it has led me to disconnection. I actually, this is difficult to say out loud for me, but I lost my relationship with my father now for 2 years after I stopped performing as his go-to person, as the person that would pick up the call at 10 p.m. because he had a stupid idea he needed to run by me. And
It's been difficult grieving that, I guess, like dealing with the void of somebody very blatantly showing you that you were only worth what you could do for them. But like I survived. I'm still here. I think it's just it's kind of one of those moments where it's like I'm trying to remember that not everyone's going to do that to me. Not everyone's going to leave because I have needs. So I don't know. That's it for now.
So I guess what I want to say is I still struggle with don't need anything and don't need anyone. Don't, burden me, impose on me. And it's really difficult to identify all the ways that shows up in my life and in the different areas of my life. It's hard to monitor, like, when's a moment where I need something and what do I need? And so, yeah, that's still a struggle for me. And, but what I was thinking about is the expectation that my family, particularly my mother, had of me was don't embarrass me. Which, when I think about it, it put me in a situation where I had to constantly monitor not what pleases you, but what doesn't. And I didn't know what would upset her. I find out the hard way after the fact. And anything could set her off, but don't embarrass me, which is focus on my behavior, right? Which is what I learned to do. Just focus on how I present on the outside. Don't be in my body. Step into somebody else's. Look back at myself and monitor how I present. All with this not knowing how I'm supposed to, right? And everything is a risk, and I could at any moment I could say anything that's going to upset somebody or do something that's going to upset someone, and I don't know what that is, and but I'm going to find out. And I just thinking about like someone my mother's expectation of me really changed me and has profoundly affected me. And yet, at the same time, I was the scapegoat, which to me, that means I was the one who resisted. I've always had a light in me. Like, I wouldn't let my sisters intimidate me. I mean, I did, but I didn't. I would resist things. And so I do have that strength in me. And yet, there's another part of me who's completely been derailed by this. These habit ways that I've developed of myself. And so both of these things somehow coexist inside of me. And I find it hard to notice when I'm feeling strong and sure, but it's so easy for me to notice the other me, when I'm just beating myself up, succumbing to these false beliefs of somebody else and these lies from somebody else in my head. So yeah, I know that's someone else's expectation of me, but that's really what really hit home when I read this. Thank you.
So there's this expectation that I actually just recently started being in a place to touch this a little bit. So for those of you that know me, this is like no surprise. I have this expectation, right, that I don't mess up, because if I mess up, it means that I won't be loved any longer. And the way that that showed up, so it's so interesting, because I do this now where like I'll mess up at home and I work really hard to like conceal it. I don't want it to like be found out, because my wife will get mad at me. But I was like a good kid. Of course, I was a good kid, because my dad was a huge disciplinarian and we had to be perfect. And but my parents went away. I don't know where they were. But anyway, they used to have this thing that was some sort of like pottery piece or something. And it was like inscribed with the year they got married. And it like sat on the mantle. And we had this party when we were teenagers, and it got broken. Like some kid threw a ball in the house or something, and it fell and it got broken. And I hid it for like the longest time, as if like my parents wouldn't notice that like this thing from their honeymoon was, missing. And then this is like the craziest one. When I was 17, I got into a car accident on the way to school, and I was driving my car, and it was like not really a very big deal. I went to pick up my friend. We were on our way to school, and it wasn't like a big deal. And I had a math test, and so I drove back. It was just down the street from my house. I drove back home, and I went inside, and I told my mom. But I like didn't really tell. I don't know, but somehow I told something to get her. My brother was a freshman in college, so his car was at home. And I said something to allow her to say, like, I was like, yeah, I gotta go take this math test, mom. Like, I gotta take my brother's car and go to school. So I left my car in the driveway that I had just, I mean, this other kid like crashed me. It wasn't my fault. I took my brother's car and drove to school. I got into another car accident. This was in the span of like 10 minutes. And all the car accidents happen within a mile of your house. They were both within like a quarter mile of our house in the opposite direction. And I went to school, and somehow I ended up in the guidance counselor's office, and I was still like so hell-bent on like taking this math test. I don't even know where the cars were at this point. And I had a basketball game that night, and I remember that the game was like we were in the game, and I was playing, running up and down the court, and my dad walked into the gym, and I just this was like, a couple years before cell phones. So like I hadn't had any contact with my dad throughout the day or anything yet. But he knew, I guess my mom told him, whatever. And then he like stared me down. It was like so awful. Like, oh, now I have to deal with my father and like I don't know. So anyway, so the what's my point of all of this? My point is I just because I was always in trouble if I did something wrong. But they weren't like they weren't really big deal. It wasn't like a big deal. I don't know. And now I do like these stupid little things. There was this stupid situation that happened last weekend where I was supposed to be keeping the patio dry because the patio paver sand had to be redone. I walked across the patio with my Dewey footprints, and like I was like, who cares? My Dewey footprints are going to dry by the time you're ready to do the sand. And I was like, I'll get the hair dryer out. Like it was so ridiculous how I was like just how quickly I went to hold on, I can fix it. It's not a big deal. Let me conceal what went wrong. That's not really what happened. Like, that isn't my fault. Like, all of this shifting around and like manipulating everything because if I mess up, I won't be loved. Because I have to act this way and do this thing and everything. So, yeah, I got, it's interesting because it's just a new layer that I'm getting to around this perfectionism. And I'm really I'm totally within myself. I'm totally fine messing up. It's when there's other people involved who love me that I can't really be, I get, Sandy said this earlier about vulnerability. Like it's just, I'm so resistant to allowing somebody to see me and see that I'm not perfect because it means they're not going to be there any longer. And they're not going to continue to love me. And Anna said this too, like, oh, you just love me just because I'm me. And it's like, that's so not like I've never, I, yeah, I don't, that's very hard for me to, sit with and understand. So yeah, my mom still calls me Crash Landgraf. It's like, okay, yep.
That reminds me of like when I knocked the rear view, the side view mirror off my mom's car when she was drunk and like got away with it, like totally blamed it on her. And that like got her sober for like a couple years. That shit
That's cool. I
works.
used to get like parking tickets and like throw them in the trash. And I didn't think you had to like pay it. And then like the police would come to our house. We had lived in a really small town, and my dad was like, "What's going on? Like, why are there all these tickets on this car?" I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Oh, car, we can have car trauma just in its own reason.
Yeah, fucking car trauma. Oh, good Lord.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let it.